Let's call this meeting to order. Let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Stand or sit down, either one, I'll offer a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for the day, we're grateful for the rain. We're always grateful for rain and snow. We're grateful for the opportunity to be involved in our community that we enjoy so much. We are grateful for the gifts that we receive from Thee. We pray for a good meeting where we can get the work done of the district and do it in a way that would be pleasing. And we pray for safety on the roads in all that we do. And say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's do a roll call and start with Brent down there.
Here.
Okay.
Larry Bagshaw present.
Corey Elzer's present.
George Gorkowski present.
Sharon Hillman present.
Victor, or
Roger.
Roger Childers present.
All right. Let me declare that we have a quorum. We're missing Victor, who's on a plane, as I understand it. I think our first item of business is to call for a motion to approve the minutes of the December 28th regular meeting. Just refreshing myself on what we did. We retained our officers.
Yep.
Talked about the various things.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
All right, it's been motioned and seconded. All those in favor of approval say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Those minutes are approved. We'll move immediately then into item number 6, which is reports to the board. And we'll start with our WIFA EUSI Program Manager's Report, Paul Hendricks. That's a lot of acronyms,
there you
Paul.
Go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pleasure to be here today. The construction projects are going well. Whispering Pines, as you know, is finaled out. Where the project documents are in process now, but the construction is done, the system's in service. Woodland Heights, we call it the MUD project this week, is out there pushing around. We expect them to be done with their major work and getting down to the final details sometime in February. There'll probably be some contract stuff that carries on into March, but we expect by sometime late February to have that in service and functional. White Oak Cedar Meadows, we expect them to start work on that in April. And then Portals 1 and 2, we also expect them to start on that project in April. So that's good from that standpoint. The Deep Well, SV3, that well is scheduled for 2,000 feet deep. On the 18th of January, the drill rig reached the first milestone, which is the first 1,000 feet. They'll be installing a 14-inch casing to that 1,000 feet, securing that, and then they'll go on to run the next 500 feet, step that down again, and then the final segment will be the last 500 feet to 2,000 feet. And that's where they will put in what we call the well screen, because we'll be taking the water from that well down at depth, and we think that that will give us a reliable amount of flow, and all the information from the study seems to indicate that. We'll be doing test pumping and development in April, and then following that, the rig will demobilize, and then we'll move on into the stage of doing the site development and putting in the mechanical and electrical equipment that will actually pump the water We had a good meeting with APS, and they're looking at the routing to bring in the three-phase power, which is required for that kind of a pump and operation. In that neighborhood, there's only two-phase power now, and so they have to run a new line. We're looking at routing and budget costs. We just got the 60% set of plans for the site right now, and we'll be starting to look through those. During this time, the district staff are working with a contractor to do R&R work, repair and replacement of things in the SV 1 and 2, and district staff can talk in more detail about that. But this is a good time, and they're right on top of things. Looking at that, we're hopeful to get more water. The interim funding and financing through WIFA, those are being processed on a regular basis. We had an interesting day today down at Milk Ranch. The board had authorized us to, the district to have a contract under which we come in with a test pump and put that in, and also bring in a company from California which has a, what they call a dynamic video. So we can actually run a camera down the pump observation tube while the pump is operating. And the camera's about as long as this microphone, and not quite as large in diameter. It looks kind of like a pencil light kind of thing. It really produces quite a high resolution. And so Geologic was there with their specialist overseeing the work, and district staff was there. So we were operating the pump at around 30 to 40 gallons a minute. And what we could see is there are three segments in that. It's about a 1,000-foot well, and there are three segments in there that have perforation or openings that allow the water to come in. The well has about 100 feet of sand fill that has entered that well over time. Talking with district staff, it's probably over 5 years, maybe approaching 10 years, in which that well was cleaned out fully. And so as it pumps and draws in sand, it drops to the bottom, and that's a normal occurrence. But this well has been producing excess sand. And so district staff has had to reduce the pumping capacity and clear down to less than 20 gallons a minute, perhaps as low as 15 gallons a minute, in order not to be drawing sand in. So what we wanted to do, because the well was originally developed, it had capacity well over 100 gallons a minute. Some reports show maybe as much as 140 gallons a minute. But pumping at that high rate, it just draws in sand, damages the pump, fills the tank with sand, and puts sand into the system, which isn't what you want. So right now, district staff is operating the test well at around 45 gallons a minute to see if it'll clear up. And then there's some discussion right now about maybe putting what they call a tailpipe on the pump. And that device is basically just a pipe that extends below the pump and has perforations in it. So if you think about how a pump works, right at the pump, there's the highest velocity or sucking motion. And so that would, as the sand comes through the perforations and tries to drop down at the bottom, that pump catches it as it comes by and vacuums it up. So what the experts and Kyle from the district were recommending today, we're going to look into that in more detail. If you add a pipe to the bottom and extend the suction line of the pump, and then put slots or perforations in it, it distributes the flow and reduces the velocity. So when the sand comes through the casing and starts to drop and go to the bottom of the well, instead of getting sucked into the pump, it just keeps on going because there's no high draw into the pump. And so if we could accomplish that, we think we might be able to go as high as 60 gallons a minute in the next pump size, and with a control valve or a variable frequency drive unit, you can vary the actual pumping rate and adjust velocities at a very affordable cost. So if you think about what we're trying to accomplish by drilling a $1 million well, let's just say it's more than a million, but drilling a $1 million well, this well, if we could add 20, 40 gallons a minute, that's a very valuable water. And we're already at that site, you know, with the booster and storage and everything like that.
So, how long would it take to fill the bottom, fill up to the
understood
near the port of the bottom of the pipe?
Well, we certainly would tag that and check it on a regular basis, but we don't have any specific defined numbers like that, but it'd be something that every 3-5 years or something like that, if you were able to get that kind of a cycle, might cost $10,000 to pull the equipment,
just suck it out,
and then you vacuum it out of there with an airlift, and then put your equipment back in and you go again. So all of these numbers are subject to more testing and more evaluation, but it's going in the right direction. It was fascinating today. Treasurer Sharon was down there looking at it and being a regular trooper out there in the rain and the cold. But it's fascinating to look at this, and there are three areas that water comes into that well. And the pump is set like at 700 feet plus, and the water level is like at 600 feet. And this this camera was below that area. So by deduction, when we were pumping and taking the camera shot, we did not see any of the sediment or floating material in there rising in any of the locations. And so everything was coming down. And so it was going down, and at the pump, it would suck it up, but it kept going down. And so that told our groundwater hydrologist that all of the water that we're currently pumping at about 40 gallons a minute is coming from the upper area. There's been some discussion that, oh, this well is too deep, and that if we just plugged off the bottom and went back to maybe 700 feet or 800 feet instead of 1,000, we'd solve our problem. Well, it appears that the water, the way we're pumping the water right now, that the water's coming in from a higher area and the sand comes with it. And so at this point, they are not recommending that we try and pump grout or plug off any of the formations. They're recommending that the next step would be to reduce the velocities in there to allow the sand to settle before it gets sucked into the pump.
And it seems to me the size of the slots might have to vary in that, so that you could adjust the velocity at the different levels, right?
Yeah, and we were talking about having Kyle take a metal saw or a saw and cut slots in. And so the hydrologist, he was saying that there are some people that sell this product and sell these products and have done modeling and those kinds of things to give you a scientific design. But you're absolutely right. It's kind of like there's more head loss farther down the pipe, and the suctions would be different. But it's kind of a process that we're encouraged. We're not excited. And so what we hope is that this all moves in the right direction, and then we can get excited. So far, so good.
He did say, however, he's seen tailpipes work
and tailpipes not work.
No, sure.
Well, Marvin said that, that he's the professional, so.
And you just had to report on that, didn't you?
Yeah. That's why I said we're hopeful but not excited.
And if we took that step and it didn't work, then you look at, you know, you discuss whether you cap off the bottom. I mean, there's other possibilities.
Yeah, the next step is what, and Kyle's here, he's got a lot of experience with it, but the discussion was basically if you can, once you set the rate, the pump rate, then you might have to waste water for a matter of weeks before it cleans up. And as long as you don't shut the pump off, it's fine. Because it kind of got all the loose sand that's migrated towards the well, it picked it up and got it out of there. And so you might be able to go higher. What we do in operations, in the systems that I work with, we might test things when all the engineers and all the bosses are there and a lot, you know, you're 100% focused on it, but then you back it off from the maximum to something that's maintainable and manageable so that it's reliable. You turn it on, you know what it's going to do, and it might not give you 100% of the water you could get from it, but it gives you 60 or 70% of it without trouble.
So you have varied speed of the pump, the suction, dial it in.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we had... we went up with staff today to the intermediate booster station on Portals 2. And as part of that project, when they come and mobilize, they're going to run a new line past that booster station. And they'll be bringing new pipe inside that. And the district staff's working with a couple of contractors to put new booster equipment in there, new electrical, and get that right up to first class. So that's my report.
One question on the deep well project. It seems to me we've got the well site set, we have the site for the boosters and the pump set, and we have the site for the tank set, more like.
Yes.
When do we start looking at the design of the finished product? I mean, are we going to bring someone in to do landscaping design on it? And it looks to me we're getting to the point where we can start looking at that at least.
Well, we certainly know enough about what's going to go on site, and generally within a few feet, 10, 15, 20 feet, of where those things are going to go. And so whenever the district is ready to have a landscape professional or somebody start looking at the options for screening and plantings and things like that, we can start looking at that and come up with some ideas.
I think that we should look at design sooner rather than later. And that way we can at least let the public beta test it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they would appreciate it. And I think it might also help us knowing that we know how it's going to look at the end.
Yeah.
And we do need to wait for it to dry out now.
I'll just have someone come in and design, look at the lot, look at the space, and say, this is how the design should look.
Yeah, I think there's several companies that landscape, you know, professionals that have the ability to give us renderings and concepts. Do you want oleanders, you want pines, you want fences, screens. We do have a regulatory requirement for certain fencing and security for the portion that has equipment on it. But out at the road and between the house and the road and between the well site and the neighbor, both in back and at the side, those can be options for aesthetics.
And aesthetic is one. Do these kind of companies typically have a little expertise like has been raised before, like ingress, egress, traffic flow, or lack of traffic flow?
Yeah. Depending on what you believe you want to be sensitive to, we would just focus on that. We need to have some gating. Whatever kind of fencing we have, we need to have some gating because there will be a need to bring a big rig in in some time in the future to pull and service and work on that. There'd be a need for enough area around the tank for them to come in with the lifts and things and be able to someday repaint it and to work on it. So those kinds of things from the utility standpoint.
Yeah, my point is that it'd just be nice to have a design complete by the time we're done with the well.
Yeah.
At least have a design that's saying this is what we plan on doing, okay, rather than get done with the well and then start trying to figure it out. That's all.
Yeah, we can move that up on the list and
let's do.
And you can put a bullet on this.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do exactly that. Right. Let's pull that forward. Funny to think how for it seemed like forever it was we're gonna find a site, we're gonna do a well, we're gonna drill it, and we're arguably 30 days away from being done drilling. Right?
No, I don't think we're 30 days away.
Well, I mean, it says late February. This is late January. February to early March.
By May, if we can have a design, we'll probably be doing pretty good, right?
Yeah, the design for the finished architecture and image and driveway access and where the fence is and isn't. We know enough to put that together as far as like at least a 50 to 70% level, and then as we move forward and get it squared away, there isn't a long lead time other than whatever plants you want to put in as to when they ought to be planted and how long it takes them to get.
We got to put in the 100-foot pines, Paul.
Yeah, there you go.
So just to be clear, I mean, based on the dates, that says 30 to 45 days and we're done drilling.
Yeah, but then you got to do the well cleanup.
I know. I'm just saying. It was really a 50,000 level foot comment about, wow, we're here.
Yeah, so right now we're running, the community can expect that drilling rig would be making noise 24/7. Then there's a stop time where they pull off, and we come in and we operate a generator to run a submersible pump. You won't hear the pump, but the generator itself is going to be making the generating noise. And those are like 120-hour continuous run of pumping, those kinds of things. But that's some step testing, some surging, and then a constant rate of pumping. And then at the end of that, the engineers will know how many gallons per minute that well will be equipped for. And that's the day we want to have a celebration.
Yeah.
Until we have to spend all the money to equip it.
Well, at least
and
we know
power it and make it pretty.
At least we know it's there. And Sharon keeps saying that we haven't spent all the money yet, and so we'll
Sharon,
be watching it closely.
You guys are saying we're getting close.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
I reserved quite a bit.
I think I'm going to get ahead of the storm.
Okay, good. And thank you for being here. Going to get ahead of the storm. Thanks, Paul. And Paul will be leaving us. Okay, field operations, Mr. Bowen.
Me.
Me.
All right. Well, I've only got a few bullet points.
Let me interrupt just for a moment. Right. Before you get away, Paul, do you have that, the weekly thing, the where we are with each of the wells? Is that a physical copy?
Yeah. Flip around here.
Here. I have one.
Yeah, I'll do one.
You got one? Okay.
Super. Yes. Thank you.
If you ask the office, they'll send it to you every week.
Every week?
Yeah, they send a copy of it every week.
Okay. Actually,
or every 2 weeks.
Then George had a little question on the one designation there. Well, Kyle's here.
And
might be able to,
not running.
Yeah, that's what it means. Is this just off? What your question was, does this mean it's not gonna run, or you just shut it off because you didn't need the water?
Right.
That was your question.
Right.
Which well is that?
Well, several of them you got none running on.
So some of them are well shares, and we try to keep those off in the winter so we're not spending the money because we don't necessarily. It's not high demand, so we try to keep those off as much as we can so the district's not spending money that we don't need to have.
Right.
Thank you, Paul.
So if you have one that's down for some, what would you put in there?
Not running.
Could you do me a favor? That if you just shut it off, put not running, but if it's a case where it's not available, put an NA in there. So that way when I'm looking at the difference, I'll know the total availability.
Well, what I'll do is instead of not running, I'll put if we're servicing it or something like that, I'll just put, instead of not running, I'll put servicing.
Yeah.
And then if we're not running them, then it's because
right, just whether or not it's available for that time period. Because the next month it could be available, but that's fine. Thank you.
Like SB1 and SB2, we have those off right now, and actually they're both pulled because of the...
So those would be not available.
The drill rig right now.
Drill rig, yeah.
And we're taking the opportunity right now to do some work on those as well.
Perfect.
Super. Sorry, Steve.
Oh, that's
back
fine.
To you.
I'm over that. So Kim and I have been working, I'm gonna show you what eight bullet points here. We've been working on public notices, water outages, suggestions, educational reminders. So we're pretty much, I will say almost once a week, sending something out to all the public. It seems to be welcomed. We get a lot more thank you for the notice, the heads up. Even some of the people that we reached out to when we went to stage 3, we were requesting the people that aren't up here full time shut the water off. And we've actually offered services here to shut their water off for them since they live down in the valley. So, but it's been a warm welcome from the public to be able to send out to them. It's not just when we hit a leak, which I'll get to that in a second. We hit leaks all the time because they send out notices there. But these are public announcements that look good, have graphics on them. Again, seem to be welcomed.
When you guys shut that off, do you shut it off on your side or their shut off?
When we shut it off, we shut it off on our side.
Before the meter?
See, technically, and you learned this, this side of the meter is ours.
Right.
That side is domestic, it's theirs. And we really can't touch theirs any more than they can touch ours.
Okay.
So we shut off the meter?
The meter. Thought process is, in case something happens, now you may have winterized your house. But the line going from the meter to the house may erupt. And if the water's on, it's just going to... We've actually corrected several of those.
We had that problem last year, at least.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other problem is there's a safety issue running hot water tanks being on with not having water, because if they have a slow leak, they can build up too much pressure, they'll blow up. So you might want to notice saying, if you're going to shut off the water, turn off your hot water too.
Excellent point. Thank you. All right, so this month we're 13 now, Cal. We've corrected 13 leaks in the 3 weeks we've been here. So the guys in the field have been busy. Between mountain high, hitting stuff accidentally, and things just erupting. What we've got now is you wake up in the teens. Last week we were getting up into the 50s, so the ground expands. And it causes leaks, ruptures. So we're doing both. You know, it's been kind of hectic, but Kyle and his guys have been fantastic on it. They worked, I think they just got off now fixing the second one today, a leak.
How deep does that temperature affect the ground? Does it down at the, you talking about at the meter leaks, or is this like 5 feet in the ground?
Just in general.
Yeah, it is. Whatever the frost level is, where you're at. But it's typically, we live in the mountains, you know, so everything goes usually from a box up a hill. It could get shallower up there, but typically you want to start where the water meter is, and that's usually 12, 18 inches below. Okay. So, with that many leaks, we've estimated over 35,000 gallons of water loss, which means if you look at it in the opposite way, with these being fixed, we'll have 35,000 gallons more back into our system. So you got to look at it positive.
Yeah, use that much in one tank.
Yeah. We've been doing, and this is really Kyle and his group, ongoing yard cleanup in our back. We've gotten organized. We've gotten things delegated where they need to be parked. We had some millings up there, some striping. The yard looks better than I've ever seen it.
It does.
It's ongoing, for sure. You guys know, we're selling our 05 Chevy, the 2500 out there, and the 2015 trailer. And the bids are due on February 9th.
So. That's the dump trailer, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. We've offered, well, kind of touched base on this already, we've offered public shutoff for the meter for non-permanent residents. So we've had several, many people call up to say, hey, you know, yeah, if you can take care of that, I don't have to come up and do it. And it's really nothing for these guys to take care of. So we can always treat one guy up. The public is welcoming these things.
Yeah. We probably had 40 of those that we shut off.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, they're gonna be down for 3 months, why not, right?
Yeah.
I can't believe they don't turn it off when they leave.
There's, well, trying to educate them.
Yeah.
It's hard, it's common sense, anyway. But that seems to be a little as well. We went from a stage three back to a stage one in 1 week. And that's because of this man. Monitoring tank levels, what we turned on, what he's turned off. I think that's pretty impressive.
What caused the stage three?
Customer side leaks. It hit us hard when we had those big, deep
freezes
and stuff. It hit us hard. People shut it off at their house, but don't shut it off at the meter, and there was leaks in between there. We had one guy in the portals that lost like 112,000 gallons.
I hope you had the insurance.
Actually, I think he did. I think he did.
It took a hit on us hard, and that's when I made the decision that we need to make the call and go ahead and do what we need to do with customer side stuff.
Okay.
Are those discretionary, you know, have we defined stage one, two, three?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have signs that we put out for the public.
So moving from three to one is because?
Our levels are back.
You had
tank levels.
Tank level.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. When we go to stage three, it also makes the fire department sweat a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially in the winter.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sure I have 4 copies of this, but I haven't read it lately.
You'll put you to sleep, don't worry.
Yeah.
All right, so you also know that because we're drilling SV3, and I don't need to trace or step on Paul, but we have SV1 and 2 down due to the proximity.
That's all because of proximity.
Yes, sir.
And we can go back, SV1, SV2, go on once SV3 is up and running?
The goal is to get to 1,000 feet and then click them.
Yeah, so they could actually pretty soon click them if they need them.
Okay.
Once they get the 1,000 foot casing in.
Yeah, the casing, it's not just the hole.
Yeah.
I'm going to correct Steve a little bit on SV1 and SV2. But right now we're doing some work to those as well.
Well, we are combining the effort.
He's getting to that.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were initially shut off because of the drilling. Now we're taking advantage of the situation while they're down. We've got estimates from KP Ventures for both wells on checking out things, pump testing, sure, old K2 as well as SV1. So, anyway, the point is that both those wells, Kyle and I have been talking about that. We're trying to take advantage of the downtime.
Yeah.
The pump's old, the wiring's old. Whatever else that Kyle can come up with that's old, now's the time while they're down. So let's address it. And Sharon has been on board with that, supportive of that.
Now, part of the reason you shut those down, I believe, is because you don't want them to have a draw on the new deep well, because
right.
It might cave in the sides of it, you know, even from the water drawer. So like, you don't want anything else sucking around it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense.
And drilling fluids.
And drilling fluid getting into those wells, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the runoffs. Other than that, I think we've had a good month.
Yeah.
Still love being here.
It's good. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you. To the team, please always express thanks to the team there.
Will do.
And great.
We also did videos on those wells, and with the test pumping, we might be able to get more capacity. That's why we're doing all of this. While the other
are
down.
Mm-hmm. And those are healthy wells. I mean, that's
yes,
typically, what is it, 28 and 23.
Right? We can make them healthier. They're much better for us.
Awesome. All right. So, treasurer's report, Sharon.
Oh, well, here it is, and it's going to get posted to the website tomorrow.
Here it is.
I've highlighted in the P&L how much we've spent on litigation expenses so far, so the whole world knows.
Good.
It's up to $34,000 now.
Wow.
Of course, that's only through December, so. But other than that, you know, everything is good. Everything is really in order, and our bank accounts are healthy, and we're earning a lot of interest on our sweep account. So we're in a really good
position.
That
was a smart move. I have to remind myself now that my rule of thumb is, I can't believe we're 6 months into the fiscal year already, but
I know.
Something like every month it's 2.25, $225,000 in water fees and $1,000 in property tax stuff. So for, which makes it about $330, right? $330 a month. And we're continuing to run profitable and put money away for a rainy day, like today.
Yeah.
Cool. Any questions on the treasurer's report? None for me. Let's move on. Larry, secretary's report.
None.
Thank you. George, vice chairman's report.
Really, I've updated the graph. Really, nothing really jumped out at me. And getting to you, Kyle, the red and blue lines there, the gap between the red and blue line on that chart, that's why I was talking about that. Not on yours, you can see it on my chart.
Oh.
But is the difference between all wells being available to be theoretical versus which ones are not currently available this week. So it's the gap of how often is our wells down and what's that gap mean? So just to let you know. But
I'll start trying to make a note a little bit better in the actions and stuff.
Yeah, if it's just shut down, I consider it available. But if you're doing service on it, then it's not available that week. That's the way I look at it. So
I'll try to make a little bit better.
But in general, we're not seeing any real increase in demand from historical, nothing significant. Nothing significant, nothing within 3%. So, it's looking good. That's it.
What do you regard as significant, George?
Well, less than 5% increase. And in some cases, we've had a decrease in some months.
Well, we're talking a 3% budget thing, and you're talking 5%. Significant?
That doesn't
make sense to me.
Well, no, Larry, 3 to 5% in actual demand, not against the output. We're still almost, we're over a double output comparison to our demand.
Okay.
This last month, our theoretical output should have been about 650,000 gallons. We used about 150,000. So we're well below what our capabilities are. That's what I'm basing it on. And all that data comes from two places, basically. The actual demand comes from Sharon's numbers and her secretary report. And then the actual availability of the well output comes from his well sheets that I look at every 2 weeks. I look at all the wells and I add up all the gallons that are available per the pump test they do, and that's how it's determined.
Yep.
Any other questions?
And that the gap between blue and red is things like turning wells off to work on them.
Well I was assuming it's when he puts not available.
And
right here, see in that sheet right there where it says not available,
exactly.
Or not running.
And that's why we've got that biggest gap.
Yes, because we have
of all the breakages and stuff.
Well, and no, SV1 and
SV2. SV1 and SV2.
Yeah, they're not available.
Yep. That's
so, but they will be
shortly.
They're just not available right this minute.
Great. Other questions? Super. Thank you. District Attorney's Report, Mr. Ween.
Mr. Chairman, I am here. Not much to report. The two issues that we're going to talk about in executive session, I will defer to that time. The only two other issues that I think we have going on that need an update, one of them is with the USDA projects, you know, the line replacement installation. Those are going well from a legal standpoint. I did a little work on that, but nothing of any consequence. It's pretty straightforward. You've seen that all before. Things seem to be going well. There is, as you know, still the dispute with Apache Underground. That's making progress. there were some settlement discussions that have occurred, and hoping that comes to a head and that we get that behind us. I haven't really been the driver of that, more of a participant, because there are people that know what's going on a lot better than I do. I'm just helping as I can, so hopefully we get that put behind us soon. The other issue is the Munger land transaction. The buyers had a few conditions that they're hoping for us to clarify. One of them is a removal of some buildings, some structures, which I do believe the district is working on having that occur sooner rather than later. The other is a water issue and a meter issue, and we can talk about that. Their position is that they want a meter. Our position has been to the effect that, and I think there's documentation to support this, that they understood that when this was being purchased, it wasn't being purchased with a meter. So we'll go from there. But obviously, always looking to see if we can come to a position where the parties leave happy, and we can hopefully find that with the Mungers as well. That's it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. No specific report for
sure.
Me.
Thank you.
I think the key comments I want to make have been made. Public comments. Do we have any requests for public comments?
Is there anything online?
We've got Pam there, we got Michelle, and we have that young lady in the back over there.
How do we do our...
Oh, that's fine.
How do we do our, where you can look at comments online? Or we're not doing that, that's right. We're doing the automated comment online. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Going, gone. Identifying potential agenda items for the next board meeting, which is Feb 22.
Yeah, we just got a notice from the county that the deadline to do a call for a notice for elections is August 30th. So next month we'll probably do a call for elections and start getting everything ready for the three positions that are going to be available this year.
And those are available the end of the year?
The end of the year.
December 31 or whatever, yeah. January 1.
Yeah.
Okay. And who is it that expires?
Larry, George, and I believe Victor.
Okay.
Victor took over for Ray, and there was only a year left.
Oh, that's
right. Got it.
Yeah.
So, Larry, George, Victor.
Maybe on our next agenda, we should probably talk about this landscaping issue. Will we need to bid that out as a separate thing, Karen?
It depends on how much money it's going to be and whether or not we're going to do it as a district or whether we want. I don't think USDA will pay for that. It's rehabbing the property after the will, and I don't think they're going to pay for it.
But so that's a question we can ask, right?
Yeah, I can ask it, but I don't think
I don't either, but
yeah.
Let's at least ask it and then we'll know.
Yeah,
I would just like to at least start to figure out when we're going to.
Because if they'll pay for it, we'd like maybe a lodge. And kidding. Okay. All right. Other agenda items? We talked about the landscaping. All right. Do I hear a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned. Thank you.